Father, we're thankful that the way to heaven has been provided, paid for, secured. Christ, all our righteousness. Lord, the reality of hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not something we can muster. It's not something we can make ourselves want. Only your Spirit, only your power, only your grace can produce such fruit. I pray, Lord, through the preaching of your word, that we would see and experience such reality. We need your help. I need your help. Please don't leave us to ourselves here. We're desperate for you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. It's called the Beatitudes, first section. We find ourselves in verse 6 of chapter 5. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Now, again, there are some things that I don't need to tell you. We already know it. One of those things is that we all don't share the same experiences. We don't all have the same things in common. In other words, we cannot relate to every person in every way. We all don't know what it's like to be poor. Some of us grew up very poor. Others, you've never wanted for anything a day in your life. And so that's not something that you can necessarily relate to if you're talking about poverty. We all don't know what it's like to be abandoned. Some people have always been abandoned. Others have always had a steady, faithful circle around them as far back as you can ever recall. We all don't experience the same things ethnically. There are realities that in certain groups, people experience certain experiences, certain things, pains, joys, and while we may be able to sympathize, there just comes a point where we have to say, I don't understand, right? We get that. But you know what? There are some things that we can all say, I understand that. One of those things is hunger. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, you know what it is to be hungry. It doesn't matter if you grew up in America or somewhere else. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. If you're a man or a woman, we all know what it is to be hungry. You realize no one had to teach you to be hungry? No one has to remind you to be hungry. No one has to explain to you what hunger is. You may be a child who can't even speak, but you know what hunger is. And how to tell everybody in the room that you're hungry. All the mothers said amen, right? We all know it. We feel it. It's right where we are. And the truth is that the term hungry is so easily understood, so common to our shared experiences and understanding that we can actually use that term to describe other things. Right? When someone is passionate about something, we may say, that guy's hungry. Right? Or when someone lacks passion that they once had, we say things like they've lost their hunger. Now, we know they're not talking about food. It's explaining, it's an illustration of something more. So when Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, we know that we can go beyond cups and plates into the realm of craving. This is what Jesus is talking about. Craving, a pursuit, that passionate chase after something. Truth is, everyone in this world is hungry. And not just out there, but let's personalize this. You are hungry. You're hungry for something right now. And your hunger drives you. Your hunger controls you. It moves you every moment of every day. And we know that hunger is a strong motivator. Just thinking about natural hunger, right? If you've ever been really hungry, you know that serious hunger can move you to action. If you find someone who's extremely lazy, let them get hungry enough and they will work. Right? It doesn't matter how tired you are, hunger will wake you up. And so we understand that hunger is an amazing motivator. It's an amazing and powerful driving force. And here's a question I want you to consider this morning as I preach, as we go through these passages of scripture, is this. What are you hungry for? What do you thirst after? Because the fact of the matter is, some hunger and thirst will lead you to hell. And then there's a blessed hunger and thirst that leads to eternal life. Now, in scripture, we see all kinds of hunger expressed. We see many thirsty souls in the Bible. You may think of Cain, for example, who was hungry for revenge, and he killed his brother to satisfy that hunger. You see Sodom and Gomorrah, they were thirsty for sexual sin, and they tried to break the door down to abuse angels in order to quench that thirst. We see Saul, King Saul in the Old Testament, who was hungry to keep the throne, and it pushed him to commit murder, try to destroy his own son, sell his daughter off as a bargaining chip, and even consult a witch. He wanted to eat. He was hungry, and he filled his hunger with those things. You think of Simon the Sorcerer in the New Testament. He was thirsty for supernatural power, and he tried to buy the Holy Spirit to quench that thirst. Ananias and Sapphira, what were they hungry for? The praise of man. And they lied to the church, and they lied to the Holy Spirit to get it. The Pharisees, they were hungry and thirsty for their status, for money, for control, and they rejected eternal life so that they could satisfy that craving. What are you hungry for? Now, you know me well enough, hopefully by now, to know it's not enough to say the right answer, right? That's not going to cut it. Judas said he was hungry for eternal life. He was following Jesus. He was right there with them when they said, "See, Lord, we've given up everything." He said he was hungry for Christ. He said he was hungry for heaven. He said he was hungry for God, but his true hunger was greed and money, and his meal betrayed him. What are you really hungry for? What do you really thirst after? It will not work to say that you hunger and thirst for righteousness, but then we stumble upon you and find you feasting, and we say, "What are you eating there?" And it's a banquet of godlessness and a plate of idolatry. As the proverb says, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And many people say, "I hunger and thirst for righteousness," but truth of the matter is, they eat bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Your meal will always tell the truth. You may say with your lips, "I hunger and thirst for this," but what do you consume and what do you drink tells the truth. What are you thirsty for? What do you really hunger after? Now, I think it's important that we understand. Now, we know that this blessedness, again, is this happiness. It is this happiness that is true and everlasting. And I tell you every time we look at it, because Jesus says it every beatitude, so it's worth telling you again and again and again. True happiness, lasting happiness, eternal happiness is found in those who are hungering and thirsting. But what does the Bible mean when it says hunger and thirst? We all say, "I've been hungry. I've been thirsty." Big deal. What is that, right? Well, Let's get some understanding, and I hope that this helps to bring the point home. But the word for hunger, it's actually the word hungering. It's this ongoing desire to be filled, hunger. And it's the word that was used in this passage of Scripture. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. See, that's not missing breakfast and around lunchtime you're like, I need a snack. That's not the kind of hunger that this is talking about. This is fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the intense desert wilderness and being hungry after that point. That's intense. That's if I don't eat, I will die hunger. That is stomach pain. I can't move unless I satisfy this. This is the kind of hunger that people experience in famine. Remember in 2 Kings when those two mothers agreed to eat one another's children in order to prolong their life, and one day they slaughtered the child, boiled him, and ate him, and then the next day they're like, where's your child? And she hid him. When they were eating donkey heads and bird dung because they were so hungry, that's the type of hunger that we're talking about here. And the audience that Jesus was talking to is not an audience like us. We're the type of people who have extra money, right? You say, I can leave a tip. Like, the majority of people who heard this wouldn't know what extra money is. They wouldn't even have a category for that. These are people who worked day by day. They didn't live paycheck to paycheck. They lived day by day. Meal by meal. There were no refrigerators. They couldn't store their meat overnight. They had to work day by day. And their work was completely and totally based upon what was available. And if it was a drought and the field has no crops, they have no work. If there's a raid, which often happened, or the Romans came and conquered their people and burned the villages and burned the fields and took all the livestock, you guess what? You have no work. And if you don't work, then you can't eat. And these people knew what it meant to really be hungry. They knew what it really meant to say, are we going to eat today? And their children looking at them saying, Daddy, are we going to eat tonight? Well, it depends on whether or not I can get work. They knew hunger. What a thirst. Say, I know thirst. This is Texas. Maybe not the hunger thing, but we get thirst. I know what it's like to be outside, you're mowing the lawn and you're thirsty, or you've been playing in the playground and now your throat is parched, or you've been walking and you say, you know what, I'd really like a glass of ice water now. But I just encourage you to listen to this. This is from William Barclay about this idea of thirst. It says, it was not possible for the vast majority of people to turn a tap and find the clear, cold water pouring into their house. A man might be on a journey, and in the midst of it, the hot wind which brought the sandstorm might begin to blow. There was nothing for him to do but to wrap his head in his turban and turn his back to the wind and wait, while the swirling sand filled his nostrils and his throat until he was likely to suffocate and until he was parched with an imperious thirst. You know what it's like to really be thirsty? Where you can't go to the faucet, where you have to go to the well, and hopefully there's water there. You have to walk miles and miles in order to get to a flowing stream. This is the kind of hunger and thirst that is a matter of life and death. And Jesus says this, happy are the starving and dehydrated. That's the name of this message. Happy are the starving and dehydrated. That's strange. It's not merely those people who have a weekend passion, those who have a casual drive to do something, those who have a hobby, but those who are consumed with thirstiness and hunger. I asked my children the other day, I said, okay, what's the next beatitude? And Isaiah said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. I said, almost. kept asking them, hunger and thirst for what? Jesus qualifies what his people hunger for. He tells us what his citizens thirst after. What does it say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Think of that. This hungering, thirsting, it's insatiable. It continues. You're always hungering for righteousness. You're always thirsting for righteousness. No matter how much you get, no matter how much you achieve, no matter how much you attain, you always want more and more and more and more. It's desperate for righteousness. Not merely hungry, but hungering. Not merely thirsty, but thirsting, panting after the streams of righteousness, seeing mirages in the desert. You're so thirsty for it, for righteousness. But again, Jesus constantly shows us he doesn't give us what the world says. The world is opposite to this. You know what they would say? Hunger for happiness. Thirst for happiness. Jesus says you have happiness if you crave and desire righteousness. As one man said, oh, the bliss of the man who longs for total righteousness, as a starving man longs for food and a man perishing of thirst longs for water, for that man will be truly satisfied. But the world says, I crave and desire happiness. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, everybody wants to be happy. That is the great motive behind every act and ambition, behind all work and all striving and effort. Everything is designed for happiness. But the great tragedy of the world is that, though it gives itself to seek for happiness, it's never able to find it. Isn't that true? This world is filled with people who want to be happy. You find anybody who wants to be unhappy? They may be, but they don't want to be. They want to be happy. And their efforts, their goals, their striving, their journey, their mission is in an attempt to reach that destination, happiness. They're treasure hunters seeking after Bigfoot. Looking for that golden city, El Dorado, that no one can ever find. And everything in this world just communicates this craving for happiness. The amusement parks, the television shows, vacations, restaurants, toys, makeup, houses, cars, thrills, achievements, clothing, relationships, fantasies, all of it promising you will have happiness if you get me. And all of it results in the same conclusion. This cannot fill me. This does not satisfy. I am still unhappy. And so man, rather than realizing my pursuit is wrong, they say, I just need to change my treasure from this one to another. But they use the same map, which results in the same tragic end. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. Spend your life looking for happiness only to never taste it. Spend every moment of every day trying to be happy, and when you get to the end of your life, what you end up getting is eternal misery instead. Is this just in the world? Unfortunately, it's not, because in the church, the mindset often is the same. I want to be happy. So if I just get the right books, I'll be happy. If I just go to the right conferences, I'll find the secret to happiness. If I just get the right spiritual experience, I will be happy if I can just stop doing this sin or have this type of relationship or experience this or listen to this pastor or talk to that person. I will be happy. And it's a search and a quest for happiness. But Jesus doesn't tell us hunger and thirst for blessedness. He says blessedness is found in those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We get it backwards and find ourselves without it. Doesn't the scripture say, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you? But we do the opposite. We seek first these things. So why should we seek righteousness above all other things? What is righteousness? Well, the word means right standing, to be declared right. In other words, it's to be as you were created to be. Let me intensify this more. It's for God to examine you and to approve what he finds. Think of that. The holy eyes of God, El Shaddai, Elohim, Almighty God, examining every square inch of you, every thought, every motive, every idea, every intention of the heart, every word you speak, his holy eyes sweeping every corner of the home of your heart, leaving no stone unturned, taking out the white glove, every single part of you. And when he's done with his examination, he says, it's all right. It's all good. Everything is as it should be. That's what it means to be righteous. That's amazing. I find no sin, no stain, no iniquity. She's righteous. He's righteous. Now you can stand before me. Now you can come to me. What a thing. And the Christian, because of Christ and his righteousness, we were singing about it. We have his perfect righteousness. He is perfect. God looks at him. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He looks at every single thing that Jesus does, every word he says, every intention of the heart, and says, I am well pleased. I am well pleased. I am well pleased. And Jesus says, you can have my righteousness. And now those who are in Christ can stand with the righteousness of Christ and have it all. And here's the question. Why do you want that? Why do you want this righteousness? Why do you want for God to examine you and say, nothing wrong here? Why do you long for that, if you do? Is it so that you can feel good about yourself? Is that it? I know it's not. Is it just so that you can avoid hell and go to heaven? Is that the final answer? No, you know, like I know, that the real reason to hunger and thirst after righteousness is because to hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for the God who is righteous, who loves righteousness, who supplies righteousness. It's not this overwhelming desire to be good for goodness' sake. It's the understanding that you want to see him. You want to be with him. You love him and long to be in his presence, but your sin makes that impossible. So your overwhelming hunger is to have the righteousness that allows you to stand in the presence of the righteous one without any distance, without any problem, without any conflict. It's a desire to be with him because you want to walk with him, because you want to love him, because you want to be close to him. But without righteousness, you cannot have any hope of such a thing. Is that what you hunger for? For him? Are you thirsty for God? You say, whatever I need so that I can be as close to him as possible, that's what I want. And I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to get rid of anything. I'm willing to cast off anything. I want him. I want to stand where he is. Righteousness is not the end goal, brothers and sisters. Righteousness is a means to an end. The end is God himself. Blessedness, happiness is what people hunger for. They cannot find it searching for happiness. You ever think about people who want money? They don't really want money. Money is paper. Who wants, like, really, do you just want, like, rooms full of paper? Like, no, people want what money can buy. But even then, that's not the end of the rainbow. Money buys certain things so that you can enjoy it. And what is it that they're searching after with all these pursuits? It's the end goal. It's the happiness. But what they've done is, they have made their God their belly, and their end is destruction. Living for happiness, for pleasure, is saying God is not my pleasure. It's saying God is not worthy of my pursuit. It's saying he does not measure up to this world and all that it offers, these trinkets and these things down here. He does not value, he's not valued above this stuff. I was talking to my brother earlier. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, that's it. You desire happiness? You desire to be happy? Well, you know where happiness is found. It's found where God is. But you're not going to reach where God is by pursuing happiness. You need righteousness. So in a pursuit of righteousness, you get God. And when you get God, you get eternal happiness, because he is the one who provides true joy and true pleasure and eternal smiles. What are you hungry for? Does this look like your life, this pursuit of him and all that he is, this desire to be as close to him, to be as like him as possible? Or do you spend your days and your nights pursuing your own belly? Well, there's no promise that if you do that, that you will actually be filled. But for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the promise is, for they will be satisfied. They shall be filled. Remember, this is a flow. This is coming from people who have seen, I am poor in spirit. I am bankrupt morally. I have nothing to offer God. My pockets are empty. My bank account clean. I have absolutely nothing to bring to God. And it's because of my own sin. And I see my sin. And I'm broken over my sin. I hate what I am. I hate what I'm not. I don't want to be like this. I want to be pleasing to you, God. I want to walk close to you. I want to love you as you deserve to be loved. I hate the fact that I still treasure things that are trash. I hate the fact that I don't glorify you in everything that I do. I hate this about myself. And it makes you weep, and you're broken, and you're low, and you say, Lord, it doesn't matter what anybody says about me. They can treat me any way they want to. That doesn't matter to me. Only thing that matters to me is I want to be pleasing to you, but I don't have the ability in and of myself. I want to be. There's the hunger. I long to be. There's the thirst. And what's the good news? You'll be filled. Say, why are you weeping and mourning? Because I'm sinful, and I'm weak, and I'm selfish, and I'm lustful. I don't love God as he deserves to be loved. And here's the question that comes to you. Do you want to be different? Do you want to love him more than anything else? You shall be filled for what you hunger for. You see how weak you are? He will fill you with strength. You mourn over how selfish you are, he will fill you with sacrificial love. You weep bitterly over how far away you are from him. When you look at your life and you look at your speech and you look at your thoughts and your mind and your heart, and you say, I'm just so unlike him. I want to be closer to him. He sees that and sees your hungering and sees your thirsting and says, I will fill you. I will satisfy you. Do you hunger for holiness? Come to his table because it is filled with bowls of holiness for you to eat and eat and eat as much as you want. Is your throat dry and panting for grace to kill your sin? For more obedience? Are you thirsty for that? Well, come to the wedding feast. He has 6 stone jars that are filled with 23 gallons each of more and more grace quenching beverages. He will give you all that you lack. He will give you all that you want. He spread his table in the presence of your enemies, and he will feed you as long as you're hungry for him. If you long for righteousness, who is our righteousness? Christ is our righteousness. Do you long and hunger for salvation? Who is our salvation? Christ is our salvation. Are you thirsty for peace? Who is our peace? Christ is our peace. You see, to hunger and thirst for righteousness is to hunger and thirst for Christ himself. And you will be filled if you really want it. You notice that the text does not say, blessed are those who are righteous, but those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know what that implies? You don't already have it. You don't hunger for something you have. You don't thirst for something you possess. He doesn't say, blessed are those who are righteous. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's the understanding that I don't have it, and unless you provide it, I never will. But the one who says, I'm already filled, will never be filled. The one who says, I'm already righteous, will never be given that. Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's not for those who are righteous in their own eyes. It's for those who know they are poor, who weep for how poor they are, who are weak because they're meek because they know what they are. What are you hungry for? What do you thirst after? Really? Again, it's not enough to say, I hunger and thirst for righteousness for God. But when you look at all the wrappers that you have left from your meals, it's lust, pride, idolatry, worldliness. Oh, I hunger for God, then why are you eating sin? I thirst for righteousness, then why are you consuming wickedness? Our meals will always condemn us. They will always expose us. Or they will justify us. But you know what it's like when you eat. I love ice cream. Apple pie, warm apple pie with ice cream on top. Oh, beautiful. And no matter how much I love that, you know like I know what happens. You get your favorite meal. You take that first bite. Oh, so good. You just close your eyes and just enjoy it. Take the next bite. It's good, but it's not as good as the first. Third bite. That's good, but not as good as the second. By the end of it, you end up throwing away your favorite meal. Think about that. That thing which is so good to you, it decreases as you eat more of it. That's not what it's like to hunger and thirst after righteousness. What happens when you hunger and thirst after righteousness and begin to consume Christ, when you begin to feast upon all that he is, your hunger grows with each bite, not lessens. With each bite, your hunger intensifies and the flavor grows sweeter and sweeter. Your stomach grows wider to have more and more and more. In one sense, you stay hungry, always feasting. You stay thirsty, always drinking. He gives you a greater capacity to consume more. And the more you taste, the more you want. The more you eat, the more you crave. You want more and more and more. You say, yes, I pray, but it's not enough. Oh, I read, but it's not enough. I have intimacy with him, but it's not enough. I have closeness with him, but it's not enough. I want more and more and more and more of him. And after you reach the top, you say, more, more, more. I remember growing up, my mother introduced us to musicals, and one of the ones she introduced us to was Oliver Twist. And there's that classic scene where he's in the orphanage and he gets the short end of the straw, where he's supposed to go up to the front with his bowl and he's trembling and he says, please, sir, may I have some more? What? May I have some more? How dare you ask for more? There's the big fight, right? But that's not how it is with the Lord. You say, please, Lord, may I have some more? He says, I was waiting for you to ask. And he puts more and more and more in your plate. What a thing. But in another sense, we're satisfied. How is it that you can stay hungry and be satisfied? It's like when you find your favorite restaurant. You searched and searched and you've tried this and you've tried that, but now you find this one place. You say, I don't need to look anywhere else. I'm going to keep going there because they got good food. But I'm not going to go anywhere else because I found the source that satisfies my taste buds. They have a loyal customer for life. I'm not going anywhere else. My wife sometimes is like, another Bucky's turkey melt? Oh, I could eat those things all day, all night. They got me. A loyal customer for life. In a much greater way with Christ. His goodness is so good. We desire to eat and eat and eat. And the richness and the spices and the flavors, they grow with each bite, which makes us want more and more and more. The coolness and the sweetness of the drink of the fountain of living water. It's just so, so good. But in another way, we say, where else will we go, Lord? We're not looking for other fountains. We're not looking for other buffets. We're not asking for other chefs to prepare us a meal. No, our hunger is only satisfied in you. I go nowhere else. There's my contentment. But as I'm here, I will feast lavishly. No one else can feed us. No one else can feed us. No one else can be to us what he is. Is this you? Or do you find yourself going to the world and eating and liking the food? Or do you find when you go to the world and you eat their food, you say, it's tasteless. My stomach is still empty. The craving has not been satisfied. I only find fullness when I eat the bread of life. I only find my thirst quenched when I drink deeply the wellsprings of eternal life. Christ, who was perfectly righteous, remained hungry and thirsty. How often did he say, it is written, it is written, it is written? He had a hunger for the word of God. How often did we see him go off by himself to be with his father? He had a thirst for the presence of God. How much more should we? We see a nonstop devotion in his life to righteousness, to holiness, to integrity. He went after it with a full force. Is this you? Is this your reality? Are you hungry for righteousness? Are you thirsty for righteousness? Do you want God? Do you want more of him? Or do you love this world? You know what it's like. My wife, 6 children. We know something about craving. Some of you women who have had children know what it's like to have a craving. Some of you who haven't had children, people just like, I have a taste for something. You want Chick-fil-A? I don't want that. You want that? I don't want that. I have a certain taste for something. And nothing else will satisfy it. Is that how you are when it comes to the Lord? Nothing else satisfies. You have a craving. You have a taste that only he can handle. Well, I need to give you a warning here. Your hunger and thirst is not enough. We have an understanding in our family with our children. We tell them, when it's time to eat, we go somewhere, and food is set before you, you need to eat. Because it's happened many times. They'd eat very little. It was a birthday party. They want to play. It's pinata. I want to do that or whatever. And now it's time to go. And what do they say? Oh, I'm hungry. Nope. You had an opportunity. The food was set before you. You had time. There was an abundance of food. They were giving away food. But you didn't want to eat. It's too late. So they know when food is set before us, eat. It's not enough to be hungry if that hunger doesn't move you to do something about it. It's not enough to be thirsty if that thirst doesn't move you to action. To say you're hungry, to say you're thirsty for righteousness isn't enough. Waiting until you're hungry enough may cause you to miss out on being filled forever. Because many people say that they're hungry for righteousness and they continue to starve. Many will acknowledge their dehydration yet stay thirsty. Not because there's no food available, because Christ has offered himself as the bread of life for all who want to eat. They stay thirsty, not because there's nothing to drink, because the wellspring, the fountain of living water is there in abundance, ready for you to drink deeply. The problem is that the craving remains just that, a craving. You think of the prodigal son, remember him? In that story, it says, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He began to be in need. His hunger started to rise. But he didn't go home. He hired himself out. He wasn't hungry enough. It was not until verse 16 that we see the words, and no one gave him anything. And then he came to the end of himself. His hunger intensified to the point where he said, I need to go to my father. True hunger moves you when it's strong enough. Fact of the matter is, right now, God offers you a feast. Right now, he offers you a fountain. All who want to eat, all who want to drink, come to me. I will fill you. I will satisfy you. But the time is coming when the banquet will close. The time is coming when the faucet will be turned off. And for many, it will be too late. If you're really hungry, no one has to tell you. If you're really thirsty, no one has to tell you. Have you ever heard of a starving man needing to be convinced to eat? Have you ever heard of a person who was dehydrated having to be forced to drink, forgetting to drink? No. Proverbs 21:25 says, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves. Is that you? Craving and craving, hungry and thirsty, but never going to the table where there's food, never going to the fountain where there's water. Christ will fill you if you go to him. Well, two more quotes. This is from the hymn. How sweet and awful is this place. It says, why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly drew us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. This world is the ocean, and as thirsty as you are, you can't drink that water, you'll die. Only Christ will satisfy you. Last thing, Psalm 107, verses 4 through 9. Listen to this. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Christ is ready to feed you and quench your thirst. Father, thank you for righteousness. Thank you that we can know you, that sinners can be truly, eternally happy, not by chasing after happiness, but by chasing you, seeking you, longing for you, and all that is like you. Lord, I pray that you would keep us hungry, keep us thirsty, and keep us coming to you for food and drink. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.